States Dressage Federation's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford. We begin with the news that the dates for the 2016 Adequan USDF Annual Convention have been announced. This year's convention will be held from November 30th through December 3rd in St. Louis, Missouri. So be sure to mark your calendar and join us at the Arch at the end of the year. On this week's program, we have a tip from Mary Flood later on in our education segment, but we begin with a continuation of our series on American dressage legends, as we take a look at the life of Captain Andrew Bellassine, who was inducted into the Rimmer Foundation USDF Hall of Fame in 2004 in recognition of his leadership and tireless devotion to advance the sport of dressage in the US. He promoted, led, and championed the cause of young riders and became the father of the Young Rider Program. Captain Desine's monthly articles shaped the sport for 15 years through vision, creativity, and deep understanding. As a very popular judge, he provided direction and encouragement to dressage riders at all levels. And his 148 monthly Thinking Aloud columns in the magazine Dressage and CT shaped the sport from 1973 to 1988 through vision, creativity, and deep understanding. As a very popular judge, he provided direction and encouragement to dressage riders at all levels. As the first chairman of the USDF Judges Council, he created a forum for judges. According to the Chronicle of the Horse editor at the time, John Strasburger, when Captain Andy died unexpectedly in 1988 at age 75, he was in the middle of what his new wife, Dady Longanger Desine, called his third life. The first was his life in Hungary and the equestrian and military training that framed his existence. The second was his career as a mechanical engineer, which occupied much of his first 20 years in the US. And the third was his career as a dressage judge, a technical delegate, a journalist, and equestrian administrator that began in earnest when he retired from Westinghouse Corporation in 1978. Andy's most significant work was probably his leadership of the Young Riders Program. He started the USDF Advanced Young Riders Committee and served as chairman from 1982 to 1986. According to Strasburger, in the 1980s, the words Young Riders and Captain Andy became almost synonymous. Year after year, he wouldn't stop talking about the importance of the Young Riders program. And every year, he seemed to have a new plan to encourage them. He was not the man giving them lessons, finding them a horse, or paying for the horse. Andy was the little grey-haired man with thick glasses who was judging their class. In reality, he was quietly working behind the scenes to make their competitions possible. The dressage competition of the North American Young Riders Championships and all of its qualifying competitions and selection procedures all happened directly or indirectly because Andy crusaded for them and politely would not take no for an answer. Fortunately for the young riders, he had such stature and respect that he could get the ear of the people who counted. In the last year of his life, he was honoured as the overall Horseman of the Year by the Chronicle of the Horse. His career in equestrian journalism reached its pinnacle when he was granted the first interview ever given by the then President of the International Equestrian Federation, His Royal Highness Prince Philip. Andy's June 1981 Thinking Aloud column outlined a proposal to establish a Dressage World Cup, parallel to the Jumping World Cup, which is very similar to what we have today. Other columns focused on rules, theories of training, plans followed and not followed by national and international organizations, and personal observations. His many other accomplishments in dressage and eventing are too numerous to mention. On a personal level, he was a real gentleman in every sense. The words of Andy's colleagues and relatives should give you some idea of what he was like. Said Carol Sellers of Virginia, "He was especially kind to people just beginning in dressage. He would give his time to people who knew very little and encourage them. That was something a man of that stature just didn't do. He had a talent for making each person feel capable and special. Judge Colonel Paul Wymert of Virginia said, "As a judge, he could give someone a bad score and go and talk with them and tell them how well they did, and they would go away tickled to death because he told them what they needed to do." USDF founder Lowell Boomer of Nebraska said, "Andy was one of the most dependable and reliable sources of guidance. He was so enthusiastic about everything for the betterment of dressage." His daughter, Esther Messengill of California, said, "He was an incredible father. I think he was one of the most fair people I've ever known. He never judged anyone as a group or class. He looked at everyone as an individual. I hope that's the one thing I've learned from him." Dee Dee DeCinney said, "Andy was one of those people who was really able to enjoy what he was doing at the time he was doing it. In June of the year he died, he went out to Fort Still, Oklahoma, and he had such a great time because they took him on a tour of the military installation. That was all he could talk about. He could really focus on the moment, really have fun while he was there. And that's why I think he succeeded." Following are Andy's own words, which all dressage riders should remember. "In dressage, you fought well. When leaving the arena, you feel that your horse gave you the best he is capable to do. This is of much greater importance than ribbons or percentages. Andy fought well in everything he did his entire life." At the annual North America Junior and Young Rider Championships, the Captain Andrew B. DeCinney Memorial Sportsman Trophy is given to the young rider who best personifies the high standards and virtues of integrity, sportsmanship, honor, courage, team spirit, good temper, and unselfishness. This award is presented annually by the U.S. Equestrian Federation in honor of Captain Andrew B. DeCinney, who was a teacher, dressage judge, technical delegate, and longtime supporter of the Young Riders program. His dedication and support has helped the championship become what it is today. And for more information on Captain DeCinney, please look for the American Legends article that is being published in the March issue of the USDF Connection magazine. And now for our education segment to wrap up this week's program, where the USDF Certified Instructor Trainer Training through fourth level, Mary Flood, joins us to look at the importance of throughness and timing of the aids. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Chris. Glad to be here.
So a combination of those two things.
Yeah, I find in my daily teaching and training, one of the most difficult things for to me riders to understand and to really accomplish is the ability to ride a horse through. A lot of their attempts is to ride the horse round, and they're associating those two. And I think that's where we get into trouble with the horses being against the bit, blocking the back, being crooked, over flexion, tight in the jaw, because riders are thinking that a round horse is what they want, not understanding that the hind legs will not be able to be active. The horse will not be able to push up through his back into the rider's hands and then complete the circuit. My idea for throughness is, go back to the electricity in your electrical lights in your house or your battery in your car. It takes two wires to complete the circuit, the power in and the power back. And if you have like a loose cable on your battery, then your battery's not going to work. It doesn't complete the circuit. And to have throughness, it's necessary to have the hind legs push up through the back over the top line where the horse releases really the third, fourth vertebrae in the neck. A lot of horses block there. Riders give a little too soon when they're asking for the horse to yield in the jaw. And they might get the horse to drop the bit or come behind the bit. But when that muscle's released, then the horse is able to relax in the pole and then down in the jaw and back to the rider's hand. And that comes to me from how the rider really needs to have a balance seat that's effective, that they have control of. So there's so many variables in the rider being relaxed and correct and through in a position to give instructions, to be able to feel what fruitfulness is, takes to me the opportunity for a lot of times a writer to have an experienced trainer help them with this as they sit on the horse and develop the fruitfulness on the horse. But riders don't really know what the feel of fruitfulness. They really need help on the ground with an instructor that can give them to me the proper information so the horse stays active, forward. A lot of horses are ridden forward but out of balance. The timing for your aids is critical, which to me goes back to the jaw yielding for the horse. And some horses haven't really learned to yield in the jaw to contact or pressure. And then they constantly hang on the bit. That can go back to having the proper bit, that it sits right, that it's comfortable. But problems with some of the bits is it causes the horse to open the mouth or to grind or drop behind the bit, tilt their head, pull up their tongue. And when you have those issues, you can't have thoroughness. The mouth conformation can vary with the horse, where it's thick or wide, where the horse has a thick tongue, the palate height. Back problems show up as mouth problems. If the horse is not relaxing his tongue, you cannot communicate through the muscles of the sternum and the back because they're connected to the tongue, actually. And those things can prevent the horse from being through. Going to exercises that help through this is, of course, your lateral work and your longitudinal. Because without a supple horse, then you cannot help have the horse be able to stretch his back up through the top line and come back to you. And within those transitions that are so critical, that's where you start to get the horse carrying the weight into the hindquarters. To me, the word aid means to assist. And a lot of riders hold their leg contact on too long. It shouldn't last longer than one stride, one moment. If a small aid's given and the horse doesn't respond to it, then to me the next degree of the aid needs to be increased until the horse responds, and then the aid immediately released. So the horse, if you touch with your leg, then the horse needs to react with activity so that your seat can regulate and balance that connection. And the same way with the jaw yielding, is to for the horse yield in the jaw, but the rider then must relax the hand as a reward. Because horses sort of go off of reaction. So you have to reward the reaction that you want. If you hold it too long, the horse won't understand the response that the rider is desiring. And the timing for the aid, if you're doing lateral work, then the aid, the calf primarily, when a trained horse can just be your seat bones. Untrained horse, then it has to be reinforced a little bit with the whip or the heel, that the horse reacts to picking up that leg and putting it down in a different location. So the timing for a lateral moment would be when that hind leg is in the air. So again, helping riders be aware of where the horse's legs are, when the hind leg's in the air, when to give that aid. If not, they can't really create thoroughness. And then when they're kicking, pushing, pulling, then they're maybe creating a horse that's round, but the horse isn't in balance and in harmony with what the rider's asking. That makes sense?
Yes, that absolutely makes sense, Mary. Thank you very much. Anything else that you'd like our listeners to know about this topic?
It's really to have them go, address these issues with their instructor to help them really understand more. We owe it to the horse to ride the horse more through without forced side reins and riding the horse, to me, behind the vertical where the horse cannot work correctly, because our horses really want to work for us. And I think we owe it to the horse to educate ourselves, get good help, and start to understand that trueness is not just about roundness, but the activity and the harmony to the entire horse. And when you feel that moment of trueness, to me, then it's like an adrenaline rush. It's like it should be an addiction that you keep seeking, because it's so rewarding to sit on a horse that's through.
All right. Well, good advice, Mary. Thank you very much indeed for giving us our tip this week.
You're welcome.
And a final note to remind you that auditor registration is still being accepted for the Adequan USDF FEI Level Trainers Conference with Stephen Clark, which is scheduled for March 14th and 15th at El Sueno Equestrian Center in Somers, California. Online registration is available through March the 4th, and then on-site registration will be available starting Monday morning, March 14th. And if you would like to get a taste of presenter Stephen Clark's teaching style, please visit eTrack and view the clips of the 2015 Trainers Conference. And a reminder, as always, that you can find this podcast on the iTunes podcast store to download to any smartphone app. And if you have any suggestions for topics for this podcast, please drop us a line to podcasts@usdf.org. That's it for this week's episode. Thank you for listening wherever you are in the world. And remember that the USDF is your connection to the American dressage community.